Lord will continue to bless each and every one of you. As I begin my message on action have consequences, I'd like to have a moment of prayer for God to overpower me and let His Spirit speak through me, that I could be a humble vessel used by Him to help give us some important insight to what's going on right now. Heavenly Father, I am nothing but a man of clay, having no ability to do anything except what you would do. Lord God, I have no understanding, have no knowledge. I'm truly, Lord God, without understanding about the situations going on now. Lord God, help me, as long as those who are on the phone right now and on their computers, Lord God, gather a little bit more understanding, a little bit more clarity about what this situation reveals to us about your will. In Jesus' name I pray. Today's message is entitled, Action Having Consequences. And it's coming from two passages of scripture, Genesis 3, 1 through 6, and verses 16 and 17. And they read as follows. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. And he said to the woman, Has God indeed said to you, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, You shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eye, and a tree desirable to be made to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave it to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves covering. Verses 16 and 17 reads, To the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrows with conception, and in pain you will bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you. Then to Adam he said, Because you have heeded to the voice of your wife, and have made and have eaten of the tree which I commanded you, saying, You shall not eat of it, cursed is the ground for your sake, and in toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. You know, over the past 4 years, we have witnessed the unimaginable happen. At least for me, it's been unimaginable. First of all, we saw Trump being elected president, a man who we knew had no moral integrity, had no relationship with God, yet it claimed he was the one. Many people believed what he said. And yet now, after 4 years, he's been impeached twice. Impeachment is no light matter, but it's a very, very serious matter. It doesn't happen not once, but twice. We've seen the COVID pandemic happened under his watch, in which over 350,000, almost 400,000 people have been killed, and 20 million have been infected. And because of this, and his unwillingness to recognize it or deal with it in a serious manner, not heeding the scientific and medical advice, we've seen the economic collapse and ruin are in this nation. Many people's lives have been affected in a serious way people who ran small businesses have lost them. They've ruined, lost homes, and just been so much ruin and devastation. Not since the Great Depression have we witnessed this kind of economic turmoil upon our nation. And next, we look at the fact that just recently, we had a group of people who did not like the outcome of the election, didn't understand that we were a nation of laws and that laws meant that we had to abide by these decisions. And so they had a resurrection. They went to the nation's capital, invaded the halls of Congress, and were out to lynch and kill and hold hostage the members of our legislative branch. This is what has happened in the 4 years since Trump has been elected in office. And lastly, we look at the fact that there is more division and mistrust in this nation than has ever been at any time. I remember during the Civil War that there was a division between the North and South that got so great, and their trust became so great that we had a Civil War in which the North fought the South. And now it seems like we're at that point where we have people that have one particular viewpoint ready to take up arms against another group of people who have a different viewpoint. This is a result of Trump being elected. Well, I have a question for you. How did we get here? How could we get to a point where we were a nation that no longer has the rule of law and honor it? Well, I think one reason we have this problem is because the churches have become disobedient to God and no longer love God. God had set out the mandate that we would love him with all our heart, mind, body, and soul, and that we would love our neighbors as ourselves. The church no longer preaches about love and salvation for the fellow man, but rather they teach about and begin to preach about, do you have the right moral? So are you looking at the Bible from whether or not you adhere to a certain moral code or not? Not whether you love God, but do you belong to my moral compass? I also believe that the reason we got here is because people are no longer held accountable for their actions. Now it seems like you can do just about anything you want and nobody holds you accountable. That's what the young people seem to have been taught nowadays, because they don't think that anything they do is wrong. Because they see it be happening with the younger, older folks. We see the President of the United States says he should no longer be held accountable for anything he does, because everything he does is right, and we have some enablers in his party and other people who are not part of the political system saying they agree with that. And because we no longer practice justice and equality, there are many saying that there's no justice, no equality, so why should I adhere to refrain from acting out? Because I'm not going to be given the right treatment anyway, so why adhere to the standards that have been set out? Yes, we have witnessed so much that has happened. And because of that, I think we need to look to the Bible to get some understanding. Because, you know, when I was growing up, I was taught that actions have consequences. I believe it. I was taught it. It was rooted into me from the very beginning. Not just biblically, but when we were told that if you touch that stove, It was hot. It was going get burning. If I when I touched that door, it got too hot to me. Too close to the heat. Yes, I felt that heat, and if I got too close to it, and it would have burned. I was told don't go out in that sun because you got to stay in that sun. It would get sunburned, and you come in, and all of a sudden the skin was peeling and aching and was on fire. And I'm glad I was raised in a Christian home where I had a mother who taught me that the love of God and that God had certain rules, the Ten Commandments. You know, love God with all your heart, mind, body, and soul, and love your neighbor as you love yourself, and the golden rule, do unto others as they do unto you, as you have them do unto you. Those things were part of my upbringing. And one of the things my parents, especially my dad, said, you're going to be held accountable for your acting, because if you get in trouble, I ain't coming to get you out. He said, if you get in trouble, you're gonna be in jail. Because you did wrong, you knew you shouldn't have done that. So if you get in jail, just expect to be held accountable for your actions. Dad's not going to come to get you out of trouble that you shouldn't have gotten in your first place. So again, I had some accountability, some examples of what accountability meant. And what the right and wrong act. Because my dad let me know, now if you did something right, if you was not guilty of what they did, he would come and get you out. But if you did wrong, and if you did wrong, he wouldn't come to get you. I'm glad I had parents like that. Because they taught me, and yes, indeed, our actions matter. It mattered when it went to about going and getting a job. If you wasn't acting, you had a certain actions and you had a record, then when you went to get that job, more likely that record was going to be an impediment to you getting a job. But unfortunately, kids no longer are being taught this. They are no longer learning it. And I feel sorry for us today because of that. We're in the situation we're in. We weren't taught that actions have consequences, and we didn't learn it. And as a result of that, we now have a sad and regrettable situation. You know, if we go back and look at the scripture of Adam and Eve, and we find out that this is the first time where the consequences of actions was demonstrated. For we go back, we find out that Adam and Eve were in a garden. God created a garden, and he put them in it. And he put them in there as a male and female. He said, Adam, this is Eve, your helpmate, and that you guys have the garden. You have free reign in the garden. And in this garden, God said, I give it to you. You got everything in this garden. Everything in this garden, those fruit of every tree is yours, except one fruit. And that one fruit was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He said, you don't touch that tree. He said, when the day you eat of it, you're going to die. A, B. A equals B. You know, it wasn't complicated. Don't touch the fruit. You don't eat the fruit. You touch it, you die. Straightforward, simple. No complicated. It wasn't complicated. God made it very simple and very direct for them. This one thing. And in that, which is what our problem is, God gave them free will. God gave them the choice to trust and obey him. You know, God said, I put it here for you. I'm not putting any police, I don't have anything. I'm not putting any fences, any guards. I put it out there, give you free will, and you get to make the choice. Trust me, and don't either free obey me or not. It's up to you to do what you desire to do. Well, like we've come to understand, us being people with free will, we got it from our parents, Adam and Eve. Eve was in the garden, and people get in arguments about it, but we're just going to deal with the fact. Eve was in the garden, and she was tempted by the devil and chose to eat the fruit. I mean, she could have chose not to, but she chose to eat the fruit. She listened to what the Satan told her rather than listen to what God told her. And then, also we have Adam, who chose to listen to Eve and ate the fruit. I mean, you're going to read it. It's simply that straightforward. Eve was tempted. She chose to eat the fruit. Adam chose to listen to Eve and ate the fruit. Case closed. Those were actions that Adam and Eve did. It seems they chose to distrust God and disobey God. Eve chose to distrust God and obeyed and ate her fruit and disobeyed God. Adam chose to trust Eve and not God and ate her fruit. That's what the Bible says. Read it. Well, because of the actions, that God said there would be consequences. Let's see what those consequences ended up being. For Eve, the consequence ended up, God said, you can conceive and give birth with sorrow. Remember, Adam and Eve, one of the main things God said, be fruitful and multiply. So now it isn't that she's not, God didn't stop them from multiplying, but he said it's going to be with difficulty, with sorrow, you will continue to multiply. And then secondly, he said, he's demoting her from being a helpmate. Now, she was co-equal. She was a helpmate to Adam. She was on the same level as Adam. And because she fell prey to the devil, she got demoted from being a helpmate. And instead became a subordinate to Adam. That became Eve's consequences of Eve's actions. So we need to look at what the action and consequences are. And then Adam, he has to suffer consequences because he loses Eve as a helpmate. God says, it's not good for you to be alone, so I'm going to give you a helpmate. He loses Eve as a helpmate. Very serious. That instead of being two on the same level, one, he has to suddenly lose that co-equal partner he had. And then secondly, Adam loses permission to eat of the tree in the garden. You know, he had a free reign. It was easy. It was so good, he didn't have to lift a finger. All he had to do was out there, oh, I think I eat this today, eat that tomorrow, eat that. It ain't like that today, is it? In fact, we just talked about the problem with homelessness and people not getting enough to eat. Well, in the beginning, it was not so. God provided more than enough for all of us. But because of Adam, we lost that privilege, that wonderful, wonderful privilege of having ourselves cared for. And then God says, well, not only is it you can't eat of the trees, but the ground, because you're going to have to work for the field, it ain't going to yield its fruit so easily. So because the ground is cursed. You know, when we look at the ground and all this stuff, look at how it is. That ground wasn't supposed to be like that. But God cursed the ground because of Adam. And as a result of the ground being cursed, the animals that used to feed off the ground, they had a rough too. So these Adam and Eve's actions had consequences. And together, the consequence of both of them was they were driven out of the garden. Now here, the garden, they were driven out. Driven out of that garden, that perfect place where God's Spirit dwelt, where God communed with them, where they had a perfect life. You know, a lot of times we say, oh, if I could just have the perfect life, da, da, da. We look at it and we want that. Well, we can't even imagine what the perfect life was like. But in that garden, they had a perfect life. No want, no nothing. And as a result, guess what? We've been caught up in that because the offspring born to them had a sin nature. Because of Adam and Eve, we now have a curse upon us. We now can't help but sin because of Adam and Eve. You know, we have these results from that incident with the actions of Adam and Eve. One of the most important things about the actions of Adam and Eve, the consequences were the fellowship with God was broken. God had set Adam and Eve in the garden where he said, I'm trusting you to obey me. I'm trusting you to have this communion. Adam walked with God. He communed with God. Him and God could talk to anytime he wanted. God came looking for him. God came seeking for him. He was what God desired above all else. Someone that would love and worship him. But we broke that. And because of that, God's Spirit no longer could dwell in man. Because up in that time, man had a spirit that he blew, God blew in Adam the breath of life. He became, God's Spirit was in man. But the moment Adam and Eve ate of that fruit, that spirit died within them. Because God had withdrew his spirit from them. Because God can't dwell with sin. Sin in the spirit of God, because of Adam, there was now sin. There was now open rebellion. So God's spirit had to leave man. So we experienced spiritual death. And because of that, we not only have experienced spiritual death, but we now have physical death. God had man made man perfect. God had made man to dwell in heaven and the Garden of Eden for eternity because that was God's place on earth. And because of Adam and Eve, we now experience spiritual, physical death. As I said, Adam and Eve were removed and banned from the Garden of Eden. And many of us can't even begin to understand the significance of what the Garden of Eden. What was the Garden of Eden like? It said God roamed that place on earth. His spirit roamed there. He come down and talked to man. And we know that wherever the spirit of God is, that's what heaven is. You know, Jesus said, pray that God's Spirit on be on earth, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Okay, again, God set it out that way that his will was to be done on earth. Because God had already put Adam and Eve and given them his will. And so there was heaven on earth. There was God's presence on earth in the beginning. But because of the actions of distrust and disobedience, that left. God no longer, Spirit no longer dwells on this earth with us. He sends his Holy Spirit, but God's Spirit doesn't dwell here. We won't be in God's presence until we get to heaven up there. But God's presence in heaven was here once here on earth. You know, it was here that God's presence abided. So we see that as the descendants of Adam and Eve, we now have a sin nature. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And because of that, we now have actions that we have to do. We either do the will of God and or not. You know, we've talked about in this message actions having consequences. And this applies to each and every one of us that has lived, is living, and will live in this world. We all, from the moment we're born up until we die, are constantly making decisions, are constantly making choices. And those choices cause us to act in a certain way. And those actions cause us to have consequences. Well, the action that we should be having is to obey the will of God. And that will of God was demonstrated to us and given to us through Jesus. He left us with the command, first of all, to love. To love God with all our heart, mind, body, and soul, and to love our neighbors as ourselves. And we know, as Christians, that that does have a consequence. When we hear that God loves us, the consequences that we can give ourselves to God and learn to love ourselves and God says when we learn to love ourselves, then we can go out to love our neighbors. There's consequences of that. And then secondly, God says, because you're not saved, the consequences is I now give you the commission to go out and spread the gospel, to go out and tell others about God's love. Go out and tell the others about Jesus. And when, after you've done that, one of the greatest commissions that you have, the responsibility and the privilege to save others, to go and tell others how to become saved so they can go out there and help save others. This is the consequences of us accepting the act of God's love. You know, I can say there are all actions. This world is full of action and consequences. From the moment we're born till we die, there's consequences. You have to sit back and judge your actions and what the consequences will be from your actions. I hope you will really judge yourself and your consequences. And let's say, Lord, let me make consequences. Let me have actions that will have a positive consequence upon myself and others. Let me have a closing word, a closing prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray that this message, Lord, has been an impactful upon the lives of myself and the one who heard it. Lord God, I know, Lord God, sometimes my enthusiasm and the way I say things, Lord God, is not the way you may would have it to be. But Lord God, let the words, the thoughts, and the Spirit take incorporated this to each and every one of our lives this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.